Welcome to another episode of The Silly with the Wooligans. We are live in Itepen Soulard. Mitch here, Bird.
Leo.
Brad.
Hello.
And our victim of the night, Mr. Jeremy Alba, GM of the team.
Correct.
And a raucous crowd at ITAP.
Raucous.
The great thing is only us are going to know who's all here.
That's right.
That nobody's going to know whether it's four people or 40 people.
Guys, just crowd in. There's plenty of room. We'll make
count
room
three,
for you.
Everybody take a step back.
So this is the usually my favorite episode of the, well, we've only done it once, but it was my favorite last year when Jeremy comes on. It's the Ask Jeremy Anything. It usually goes really well, but I have a feeling he's not going to like today very much.
Yeah. Hey, you don't know till we get there.
I'm pretty certain. Because
it's not too bad. People were relatively respectful, but let's touch on some news before we just start asking Jeremy questions, shall we?
Okay, go ahead.
Since we last joined you, we played Swope Park Rangers. That was a 1-1 game. We'll just throw it out there. They had four loanees from Sporting Kansas City. I'm not making an excuse. This happens. We know MLS 2 teams do this. It's not like they brought in Zusi and Brad Davis and, you know.
Brad Davis would have been fun, though.
Yeah, it would have been. But we weren't outclassed. We should have won that game, or we had the opportunity to win that game, let's say.
Played a very good second half.
That's the thing. And we'll, you know, get into that with Jeremy. They took the first half off, it seemed like. And
I'm going to start taking the first half off at my job.
Yeah, I do.
I'm just going to start showing up for work about noon 30. Well, no, 1, because that's still lunchtime.
But sadly, it was another week where we came away with only 1 point, and we relied on a PK to get that one goal.
No, not you, not Patrick Kelly.
Not Patrick Kelly. Penalty kick, Jordan Roberts earned it.
If we ever depend on PK to win, I quit.
Yeah, that's in the questions, too. again, in a vacuum, much like the Oklahoma game, a 1-1 draw is not the end of the world, but we
When you need 3 points, it kind of, we get in there. 1 point does not a playoff team make at this point. And, we're fast running out of games.
Yeah, and now we can go ahead and say we officially dropped below the playoff line for the first time in a long time. Currently in ninth. I guess the good news and the bad news is 5 points separate 6th and 12th. But
that's a lot of teams in there.
It's a lot of teams in there, and we're playing those teams, and we're not in control of our own destiny at this point. We could win every game and still not make the playoffs. We're going to need some help. We need other teams to lose.
I think after 8 games in the season, like a third of the way in the season, we were third. You know, we were knocking on the door of top 4, definitely. That's what we were looking at, and, you know, we've slipped.
It's been a slide.
Not a good slide either. Not like a slip and slide.
No.
Like a party.
Some positives. Charity DuJour continues to do well.
Woo!
St. Louis FC had their St. Louis FC Gives Back night. We really raised a bunch of money and 6 boxes of school supplies, a bunch of canned goods, and some soccer equipment. So, I mean, that aspect of our season is going really well. We're raising a lot of money.
What did you say? From now, the charity DuJour, you've raised 3 grand in total to various charities around the city.
We've raised 3 grand so far this year.
That's in cash. That's not donations to things like school supplies.
And we didn't even start it until almost midway through the season. So, so far, that's great.
We got some good people in this group.
And we're going to keep it going. Next week is, I believe, Taka's charity, Jeremy. Is that right? Are we doing something for Taka's this week?
Correct.
And it's for earthquake victims in Japan?
Yeah, there was an earthquake in Japan, and Taka came to me, like he usually does, with good ideas for the community and good ideas to help give back, something he's done since he's been over here playing. And so it's something the club will be able to help out with, and it sounds like you guys as well. So that's huge.
Yep. So next week, like always, if you have extra tickets to donate, you come to the game, maybe your wife was going to come with you or a buddy, and you have an extra ticket. If you bring it to the merch table at the tailgate, the Luligan merch table, we give those away to people who bring a friend at the last minute and need a ticket, and we just ask for a donation for that. Sticker sales, things like that, we always throw in the bucket. So we'll be giving that to Taka's charity of choice, and we'll have more information on that in the week coming up.
Bring your cash.
Bring some cash. And yen. Just throw a couple
Donnie
bucks in.
Spare yen.
That's right.
About.
I don't know what the conversion rate is, so just bring American dollars.
But yeah, just come throw some money in our bucket, and we will get that to a good good home.
Although, in the beer collection, somebody threw in, like, from an African country, a $100-whatever bill.
Pongo?
Which
translates to 19 cents.
Yeah, it is one of those kind of things. But it was like, what's this weird orange bill with some dictator on it?
I do want to give a shout out to Rocco.
President of Zamunda. He's like Eddie Murphy on the note.
Rocco gave us 10 $2 bills because he didn't know what else to do with them. So he threw them in our bucket. So we took $2 bills.
Hey, did he know that's real currency?
I'm not sure. It's Rocco.
Do we check and make sure they were actually $2 bills and not just like Rocco bills?
They had Donald Trump on them. Also in a charity vein, FIFA tournament, St. Louis FC, Alfler One, Schlafly, the St. Louis Hop Shop, and I forget the name of the actual gaming company that brought their little rig out there for people to play, but there was a FIFA tournament. A lot of fans went on there. Players came out. I don't know who officially won. PK, do we have a winner for that?
Tyler Tesloff.
Tyler Tesloff won that. So
congrats to him.
I know Jacob Bushu and Jordan were talking a lot of trash before, like they were going to win it all, but good to see they were humbled.
Doesn't take a lot for a United fan to be humbled.
We're not even going to talk about that. And the last thing I want to bring up is there is a Cardinals game tomorrow night. St. Louis FC and the Ambush are both involved with that. It's a soccer theme night.
Or tonight as you're listening.
Or tonight as you're listening. And all of those people are here, the hundreds and hundreds of people that are here. I've put their ticket, and we will draw at the end of the pod. We're going to make them stay till the end of the pod before we announce a winner. Yes. And Malia is in the draw, so chances are very high.
So chances are she's going to win. Basically one set of tickets for everybody else.
Yeah, we're giving away two. We got one for Malia and then one for another lucky person. So, all right, that's all I've got on the news.
She's going to win.
Yes. Of course, if it's a lucky lottery situation, Malia will win. That's how it works.
We should have made her put money in. Just to at least get something out of it. Anyway, so on to the fun.
All right, yeah, do we have anything else before we start grilling Jeremy?
Big game on Saturday.
Big game.
I want to start with Jeremy on, exactly. Comes this Saturday, we're playing Sacramento Republic. Going to need that one, going to need 3 points. We got 3 points from earlier in the year. Scrappy win in Sacramento, so... come out, bring a friend, as always. We're going to have some fun. I don't know what the tailgate theme is yet, but they always take care of us. I do want to mention, we forgot to mention on the last podcast, they did a seafood boil
a couple games ago. It was phenomenal.
It's crazy. I've never seen crab legs and shrimp and crawfish at a tailgate, but they did it right. So
it was amazing. And the best part
was... Manchester United fans were happy. They made little prawn sandwiches over there. It was awesome.
A little full kit wanker guy turn up.
Yes, he did.
Attaboy.
It was great, too, because they kept the food hot. So then after the game, you know, after you've had about 18 beers and you got that craving for food, we're all standing over the tray just picking out the shrimp and the crawfish. Like homeless
Yeah, I
people.
Had to vacuum out crab shell out of my car on the way home because I think you had one in the car.
I did not. I promise you, I
didn't have
not.
One. He had two.
There weren't two to have, or else I would have. And they wouldn't have been in your car. I would have been just sucking on them to get the crab meat out.
And
skip the joke.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's another podcast. But. All right, we do have some questions for Jeremy. Jeremy, very gracious. We want to thank you for joining us. This isn't always the easiest thing to do, but thank you for taking the time.
Happy to be here. Appreciate the opportunity.
No problem. The first question, it's not on our list, but I do want to throw this out there because I know it comes up about every third podcast. Jeremy, why don't we play an international friendly in the middle of our USL regular season?
Gee, Brad, I'm glad you asked. You know, there are some USL teams that do play friendlies.
Could the people hear his eyes roll there?
Can I interrupt before you continue? Sacramento actually scheduled an international friendly between the first and second week of the playoffs.
They must plan on not being in it.
That's the only thing I can think of. They must plan on going out very early. Why would you do that? That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Anyway, continue.
Yeah. no comment on that. I don't run their team, so I don't know what they're thinking. But, yeah, I mean, with the friendlies, I mean, look, St. Louis, as we all saw last Monday, we've been saturated with these things. And for us to bring in a team, even the level of, you know, what Cincinnati did with Crystal Palace, we're not going to be able to play at the park. We're going to have to play either at SLU, perhaps down there in the grass field, or, you know, at Bush. And then, obviously – You talk about now you're renting a facility, you're paying for a team to come over. I'm not saying it's not going to happen. I mean, there's a chance. It's something we look at all the time. But there just hasn't been the right opportunity.
Have we had contact
with
teams wanting to do it?
Yeah, every year.
Okay.
Yep. And it just hasn't been the right one. The other thing is, Chivas from Mexico going to Oklahoma City makes a lot of sense. Yeah. I don't know if that makes sense coming to St. Louis. So it has to be the right setup, the right timing, and everything has to kind of match up. And it just hasn't yet. But schedule's as crowded as it is. Maybe next year's calendar with the 32 games over the 30 weeks, maybe that spreads it out. Maybe there's some opportunities. But, we don't – the last thing we need to do is throw a game down at SLU, double ticket prices, and not make it part of the ticket package. We're loyal to our season ticket holders, something we believed in. It just hasn't been necessary.
My concern, and I know Bird shares this with me, is – you do play that game and you injure somebody, God forbid, it screws you up for the rest of the season for regular season games that actually count.
It's a no-win situation. You put your best 11 out there and somebody goes down like you mentioned and Bird said, and then you got people asking, why was he playing? And if you only play him for 30 minutes and you sub him out and you play academy guys or guys that nobody knows, why is he playing? I can't believe I paid double. So it's, in our mind, so far it's been a no-win situation. Doesn't mean it won't happen in the future, something we evaluate and look at, but it just hasn't made sense.
Okay. How much money did they look at making?
A lot.
That those teams want serious coin?
They're not coming over here to go to Six Flags and ride up in the arch. It doesn't matter what level it is. So it could be a lower level Premier League team. It could be, kind of like what Colorado Springs did with FC Mainz or Mainz, however you say it. It's not a cheap endeavor and it has to fit. And a lot of it's timing too, and just the timing exercise if it's gonna, fit in there. Just hasn't worked yet.
But do you also not feel that it's a bit of a distraction? I mean, you look at Crystal Palace going to Cincinnati. Cincinnati lost their next game against New York Red Bull, which was a must-win game for them. It just seems to me to be just a big distraction from them, the main goal of winning the USL.
Yeah, for sure. We said from the get-go, and I'm sure we're going to get into it in a little bit, but the playoffs has been our goal, the entire year 2016. And for us to throw a game in there that may take away from that is disrespectful, to our fans.
Okay. So I think we've covered that.
Somebody's still going to ask it again.
So like next week, maybe we can get Arsenal in just for a little tune-up. He's shaking his head. That's good pod.
Not just shaking his head. He's looking off in the distance with a 1,000-yard stare that cuts through cinder blocks. I mean, he's not having any of this shit. So quit asking the question.
All right. Let's get to some real questions. This one's from Julia Pulcher. Start off with a good one. Favorite memory as general manager of St. Louis FC? Now, we talked to you last year, and some of it was the first game of this ever. Some of it was the trip to Kansas City. Had another half a year, a little bit more than a half a year. What's your favorite memory going back?
That's a tough one. I still think going back to the first year, the first time that you guys marched in has to be etched there in my head. And I would
say,
some
quality pandering right there.
I would say it's the truth because and it's hard to say one because here's what a lot of people that are at every game don't understand. Is that every night somebody comes in for the first time and they see what you guys do and they see what the club does as far as putting on a product, in the stadium, and they're blown away. There was a guy from England that spent a week with us. He was over working some camps and stuff, a guy named Richie, and was coaching, and he's actually heading over to China to coach for 9 months on a contract he got over there and an academy setup. But he came out and watched us train all week, and then he came out Saturday to Oklahoma City and saw Monday at training, and he actually delayed his game or his trip so he could come to another game on Wednesday. And he said, look, I was here all week, great, great level, great training, good to see everything, but I had no idea the game was going to be that legit, that true. So and that's one story. So I for me, the proudest point is probably how many times I hear that, how exciting the game day experience is at the park. And I would like to say, hopefully too, as a general manager, haven't had our fondest, memory or day yet. Hopefully it's in front of us.
Just tacking onto that, season two versus season one, I mean, have you seen a growth with not just our corner, but the rest of the stadium, or, is it just maintained a status quo, or has it gone down maybe? I don't know.
It hasn't gone down. I think we're, with these last four games, we're at the same spot we were, and we're trending very, very well for Saturday. Saturday's, it's going to be a sellout. You know, we're and I'm knocking on wood, but we're really close to pushing that one for a sellout. So that's huge. It's the same spot we were in last year. The last four games are trending very well. And that's even with a Wednesday night game with Oklahoma City coming back into town, somebody that the fans have already seen as well. So that's not an easy game to sell. So I think we're trending well. Year one to year two, there's going to be a little slippage because the novelty is worn off for some people that aren't true fans or true soccer people, and they're not sure. They came out in year one to see what it's about. Maybe they liked it. Maybe they didn't. So you lose a little bit of that. And let's be honest, the other one that's sitting out there, the elephant that some people like to talk about in the room and nobody, you know, other people don't like to talk about is the MLS. There's definitely people that came out last year, liked it, thought it was cool, and now that they hear there could be an MLS thing, they're going to sit and wait. And that's on them because they're going to miss out on a lot, and they're not going to step in. If that happens, they're not going to step in at the same level of excitement, engagement, locked in, feeling like that's truly their club and their city. And that's on them. That's okay. So it hasn't been a drop off. It's been, you know, there's been a few games where it's been, but you know, a little bit lower than we would like. But you know, it's gone well.
And as far as like the other side of the stadium, maybe catching on a little bit to the, like early in the season last season, there was a lot of golf clapping going on the other side. But I've personally seen a little bit more interaction. I mean, do you think the whole stadium's catching on a little bit, being a little more vociferous, being a little more, you know, not up as, out of their feet?
Seat? Not as fast as I would like. Yeah. I wish it was happening a little bit quicker, a little bit more. But, you know, on set pieces and corner kicks, when everybody stands up, it's, you know, people are clapping the bleachers over here, smacking their hands. You see a lot more excitement at certain moments of the game. You guys see excitement in everything. We could be, you know, kicking off and you guys are jacked. Over on the other side, it takes a good...
That's a cocaine.
It takes a good soccer moment.
When we're kicking off three times in a game, though.
Yeah, we don't want that.
I meant the first one.
Okay, this next one was... I couldn't make out the name on Facebook, but... Are you comfortable with our goalkeeping situation knowing that ninth string is PK?
Ninth string?
That's what the questioner said. He claimed PK was ninth string.
I mean, if we get to that point, I'll probably go to a Veto League on a Tuesday night and look for somebody before we go that route.
That's a good call. We've seen him play in a charity game. It's not pretty.
It's charity.
we get a tax cut letting him play.
All right, this is Malia, who's over here. She's going to be one of our big winners tonight. good question. Recently, Jeremy Lynch went out on loan to Wilmington. Why was that loan made? You know, what were the deciding factors in sending him out on loan rather than keeping him here as a, you know, supplement to our attack?
Yeah. So once we kind of switched into you know, playing with more two up top, it was and some other guys that moved into that role, it was just limiting Jeremy's minutes even more than it was already was, and he was already, you know, right, seeing limited minutes. You know, to his credit, you know, the season didn't start off as strong for him as he would like. You know, he had a little bit of a knock, a little bit of an injury. You know, wasn't sure what course he was going to take. But to his credit, he's worked hard and has really stayed after it. But he just wasn't going to get the minutes for us. And it's not fair to him, you know, to have him sitting there if there's another opportunity. You know,
situation where it's probably best for him to going forward in his career.
Absolutely, and you have to look out for the player as well. You know, just like if a player gets transferred, you know, you have to look out for that. We had to look out for him getting some minutes and getting opportunity. You know, but it was easy because I could call Wilmington and say, look, he stayed the course. He's worked hard. He showed up every day. He's not cheating. He's not cutting corners. He's not pouting. I wasn't going to say that in February or March, you know, but during the course of the season, he stayed after it. It just wasn't clicking for him, and sometimes a change is needed when it comes for players and their environment. So,
and lucky for us, it's not in our division.
Yeah. I
did look to see if he was going to be able to play against Louisville.
Right. Well, yeah. But he scored on his first game, so good for him.
Of course. You knew that was going to happen.
Well, yeah, that's how it works. So who are we bringing in? Because I want somebody to score.
Yeah.
let's go on to Marcus Wheeler. Marcus is a big fan of Vince. I think all of us like Vince. Have you seen him develop over the year? You know, what are your thoughts on him as a player? Has he improved? Is he where he should be at this point in time in his career? And will he eventually be a starter at this level?
Yeah, so Vince is somebody that I know since he was 16. You know, I coached him in the academy personally as his coach, not as a director or anything like that. He's a player that I like. You know, I've been a big fan of him. I'm still a big fan of him. You know, right now in his development, And he's been told this. You know, he is most effective in certain moments of the game. He's not the most effective when the game starts. You know, he's not able to combine, and his hold-up play isn't as strong as it needs to be.
And he's admitted he's not a target forward, or not yet.
No.
He may eventually be one, but...
He's a guy that can stretch the game. He's a guy that can work hard. He's a guy that can be good on the counter, usually finish on the counter. He's missed a couple here of late, and to be honest, that's a problem. And he knows it. I mean, look, these guys aren't stupid. They know, and he knows if he finishes those chances, and now he's rolling with more confidence. Maybe his combination play, his target play becomes better. But right now his role is, you know, coming in late, being a handful, and hopefully sealing games off, not trying to win games for us late. Hopefully we're up at that point. But, you know, he's still young. And you got to remember, too, with Vince, is he has missed a significant amount of time during some developmental years when he's at Notre Dame with injury. Shoulder injury in the Final Four the year they won it. Knee injury his first year, ACL. So he's missed out on a lot of time, but he's still young, and he's got a lot in front of him, and he's somebody that that we think can continue to get better.
Is he the player that you wanted when you brought him in? I mean, is he living up to those expectations, or are you still pushing him to do more?
You always want more.
Yeah.
We always want more. You know, there's been some games where I felt he didn't, when he subbed in, he didn't have the attitude of, yep, got 12 minutes, and it's going to be the best 12 minutes anybody in this field plays. I think he's kind of had the attitude of, yep, got 12 minutes, let's see what I can do. And there's a difference in my mind between wanting to accept, and he's accepted the role, so that's not the point, but wanting to just excel and get after it. You know, and I think like all the young guys, you go through some time where you're wondering, oh man, I mean, you know, am I going to be able to get there? Am I going to be able to do it? And he's trying to sort himself out, but you always want more from him.
Along those lines, Jordan Roberts, you know, last year there was a lot of similarities where I didn't think he was living up to his potential, but this year he seems to have found what you're looking for. Is that something you guys are seeing, or is it just something the fans are seeing?
If I can interject that, at the beginning of the season, he wasn't even playing with the first team.
Right.
You know, he was with the reserves. He played Evansville University before everyone else was playing in the 11. I mean, he couldn't even crack that team. I mean, he's found a niche for himself.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that's where I think sometimes, you know, fans, supporters, you know, they see, man, this guy comes in for 20, 30 minutes. And in my opinion, sometimes it hasn't been enough. Sometimes he should have came in earlier, you know, and that's, you know, that's the case. But then when you hear people say, oh, he should start.
It's not the same thing.
Go back and watch the video of the Cincinnati game. He started in the Cincinnati game, and he couldn't get out of his own way.
Yeah.
And I told him that, you know, but, you know,
he's
done well off the
bench.
And
some players find a role where, I mean, it just works for them. I mean, there is the quote-unquote super sub that everybody knows, great players who come in at the 60th minute and score a goal, but they can't start or, you know, whatever.
Well, they give 30 minutes gung-ho at the beginning of the game, and they
and they're done.
After,
right,
yeah,
right,
after
right.
Half
they,
an hour.
They haven't learned that regulator.
Yeah. So, yeah, Jordan is – I would say he has grabbed onto that role. He has tried to make a huge impact when he comes in the game.
That's not to say he doesn't want to start. He doesn't
of
want
course,
to improve. Everybody wants to start, but
yeah.
But he's making the most of those minutes that he's getting.
He's
I
done
think.
Well in his in his opportunities for sure.
This one's from Pat Mahoney, and this is we're going to have some questions tonight that really aren't your purview. It's more of an owner question or it's more of a coach question. So you know, feel free to be honest about that. But if you have thoughts, as a GM, how involved are you in coming up with the game plan, or at least being a sounding board for Dale? Are you in those meetings, or are you just let Dale do his thing?
It's a mixture of both. There's been times where I've been involved. There's been times where I've been more of a sounding board. There's been times where I haven't been involved. And, you know, anytime you're a part of a team, part of a group that's trying to accomplish something, I think it's important that you pick and choose moments to be involved and pick moments to be there and pick other moments not to be involved. So I've been there for, you know, some of it that has turned out well, and I've been there for some of it that hasn't turned out well. That's not me trying to dodge bullets and say, oh, when we lost, I wasn't involved.
All the winning decisions,
yeah,
I made those.
No, that's BS.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, you know, the GM role is different. You know, some days I'm at training very intently watching. Some days I'm at training, all of a sudden my phone rings, like I deal with it. I got to, you know, go make sure PK hasn't burned down the building and, you know, different things that occur. So. You know, kind of it comes and goes a little bit, but yeah, it's different from that standpoint.
This is a good one. I mean, somebody we've been really high on this year. I think Matt Bird even considered proposing to the young man.
Matt Hutchinson.
No, not Hutch. Parker. Parker's had a great year. I think one of maybe the only upsides to Patrick Doody getting injured is we've seen more of Parker, and he's really seemed to develop. His injury the other night was a crusher for all of us. How's Parker? What's the status? And will we see him back, or is it a pretty severe injury?
Yeah, so obviously when it comes to injuries, there's only certain things I can report on and say.
Right.
He has his MRI tomorrow.
Okay.
He had an X-ray. Everything, good news is everything came back in the X-ray and looked normal. There was no abnormalities in it. That being said, I would be surprised if we see him again.
Okay.
He
went down. I mean,
yeah,
it was like one of those things where there was nobody around him. He just kind of went down, and it's one of those things where you're like, ugh.
Yeah, it's a groin injury, so it's not a knee. And, you know, knock on wood, based upon what the MRI comes back as of now, it doesn't look like anything surgery-wise, but it's a tough road back. It's going to take some time, and it's you know, it's disappointing. But at the same time, like you said, you know, when Duty went down, there was a chance for Parker to play his true position. We think his true position is left back.
Right.
We think he's a very good 1v1 defender. He's not the best in the attacking half of the field. He's adequate, but he's not what we really want in that wide midfield spot. So when he went down, he took advantage of it. Now somebody else can take advantage of it, and that's, you know, that's just how this works. But yeah, it sucks not to have him.
Good kid. We've been just really pleased with him this year. James Talk wants to know, considering, and again, you're not the coach, so I know you're not making these ultimate decisions. When the team's in a sort of a, let's say, a goal-scoring drought, is the temptation to push in more creative people, or is it keep doing what we're doing and, you know, maybe substitute players out? You know, he's basically saying, do we throw on all of our creative players at the same time, or is that just panicking and it's going to hurt you? Or is the temptation there, at least, to start, quote-unquote, attacking players?
I think the temptation is to try to find something that's going to work better. I don't think it's necessarily, you know, all of a sudden throw, you know, put Vince into the holding midfield because he can score goals. Well, that's
right.
Not going to help. So I think it's, you have to look within your system. You have to be willing to go outside your system a little bit and tweak some things.
Which we've seen. Dale's modified his format.
Yeah, we've done it, you know, a few times here this year, and we try to tweak some things up. So it's a mixture. You try to make a few changes. Sometimes guys just need a rest. You know, sometimes they need a change of scenery, maybe coming off the bench or not being in an 18 can help them. So you try to do a little bit of some things. I don't think you just radically, you know, change everything completely, because, you know, this team has been built since February to be a certain type of team. And while we've been disappointed with some of the results, there's also been a lot of results that have gone our way. So in the back of your mind, you're always thinking, all right, we're not far off. Oh, crap, maybe we are far off. No, we're not far off. So it's a tough one. So you try to have a balance and you try to have some consistency, because that's what the guys want as well. But they are, you know, they are willing to grab a change, you know, too.
All right, this one's it's been since the last game, you know, kind of plaguing at a lot of us. Sam Fink, St. Louis FC, or St. Louligans Player of the Year last year. We all love Sam. Sam's a good hard worker. I know you've known Sam since he was a young lad. In his post-game press conference, or maybe on the radio with Bird.
It was with me. It was on the radio, and I didn't think about it at the time, but we're asking Dale about the game, and he's mentioning that, you know, we've got a 10-day break, and the players are going to rest up. You know, he said a couple of players were playing injured. You know, AJ was injured. He came off and he could barely walk. And I'm driving home and I'm going, well, hang on a minute. Why are we playing an injured AJ when Sam Fink's on the bench? I didn't understand what's going on there.
And as a GM, you know, your job is players, bringing in players, managing these players. When you hear something like this guy could barely walk, does it make you wonder, well, why aren't we playing a guy who's fit? Obviously, you know, we're not going to argue about who's the better player, but apples to apples, if one's fit and the other's not, does that concern you? Or, I mean, maybe you can't speak to this specific situation, but in general.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think with Sam, he's been in a little bit of a funk, and, you know, a couple giveaways, a couple poor decisions that, you know, have troubled us. So he wasn't in a good spot from a mental standpoint, where he was, you know, going to probably be able to come in and play a full 90. The other thing is that when Moussa started in the back, it gave us a versatility to push him up and change the look of the game at some point. I don't think if AJ was that bad, we would have started Sam.
Okay.
But it was just, you know, when Daryl said he could barely move, look, that's coach talk, right?
After a long game.
Yeah, it's, you know, and, you know, put it this way. We have an off day on Wednesday. When I talked to the trainer this morning, I said, hey, we need to do something in the morning. Who's coming to do rehab? He's like, Parker, and that's about it. I'm like, okay. I said, H8, no, he's good. Those couple days off have allowed him to heal. So he wasn't 100%, but it wasn't far enough down that we had to get him off the field.
Well, and I think we also need to recognize at this point in the season, a lot of guys aren't 100%. Nobody's 100%.
I don't think anyone's ever 100%. There's always something wrong.
Because you're out there abusing your body for 90 minutes. Yeah,
it's been the biggest eye-opener for me is how demanding this season is. And not just this season, I mean the pro season.
Right.
It's unbelievable.
But you added games from last year. You're going to add more games again next year. It's going to get worse in that respect.
It's always going to be the same. I don't think it's ever going to be worse because you're
spread out a little more next year.
Spread out a little more, and you know that does help. But I mean, it's just amazing what these guys put themselves through.
We don't have the number of rookies that we had last year. Mm-hmm. Where I mean, you always hear about the rookie wall that these guys hit coming from a college season, which is ten games, whatever,
right?
And the full pro season. But Claude had another question, and you know, I'm going to preempt this one. He wants to know. After 2 years...
You preempt, like, every question, stop.
Because I'm really smart. Claude wants to know, after 2 years, what is the identity of this team? My initial instinct is to say Jekyll and Hyde. But maybe you have a different perspective. Do we have an identity as St. Louis FC? When people say, we're going to play St. Louis FC, they are a, you know, what do you describe us as?
No, I think inconsistent. We're inconsistent. Sometimes we are very tough to play against. I would say this. This year we are much more difficult to break down and play against, organize, than we were last year. I mean, last year you could drive a Mack truck through our midfield. There was so much space until late in the season when we just really dropped in deep and, you know, got organized and did some of that stuff. But I think, you know, I think there's teams around the team that are going, yep, tonight we could get all kinds of pressure and get smacked, or, you know, they may not show up until the second half. So I think we're inconsistent, and that's a problem. At this level, it's very difficult to have success.
Let's spin it. What would your goal be?
To be consistent. What do I want people to say about us?
We were consistent last year.
Blue collar, blue collar, hardworking.
Yeah, and I think we're hardworking. I mean, I think if you look at the effort, and look, everybody can point a finger and say, "Oh, not this time or this and that," and you know, okay, fair enough. But I think most of the time, the guys put in a good, hard, honest effort in training, on the field, in games. I think they get after it. I think it's pretty honest. I think we're workmanlike. We're more dangerous than we were last year, but maybe not dangerous enough yet. So there's some, you know, that's, I think I wouldn't be known as a tough team to play against, you know. I'll remember last year when Rochester walked into the locker room, and I remember, I'm not going to say his name, but one of their players walking, and he was walking the stairs, and he was just talking loud. He said, tell your squad to show up next time. Tell your squad to show up. Oof. Yeah. I'd love 11 of those guys that no matter if they're winning 1-0 or losing 2-0, they walk to the locker room, yep, tell your boys to show up. We're coming. That mentality, yeah. I think, is pretty special.
So it seems to me, though, whilst with Jekyll and Hyde, we seem to play up to our opponents, but we also seem to play down to our opponents. We played great against Colorado Springs at home. We played great against Vancouver Whitecaps at home. We played great away at Sacramento. But when we went to Tulsa recently, when we played Seattle Sounders 2 recently.
Arizona.
But Seattle and Arizona now, look what they've done and look where they're at.
Yeah,
and
no, when they
won. Understood.
You know, so I don't disagree, but I don't agree. I don't know that we played down. I just think we've had some shit performances at the wrong time. You know, the Tulsa performance was tough. The Seattle one, you know, midweek ESPN, and you think you'd be ready to go, and in that game we just missed chances. We missed chances left and right. So I don't know. I don't think that it's that we get psyched up to play Sacramento and we get psyched up to play Colorado at home because we needed the win. I just think we've had some shit performances when we couldn't afford to.
We're not overlooking, like, when we go down and lose to Tulsa, maybe we were overconfident. That's not a factor at all.
No, in that game, I mean, we can't do this, unfortunately, but you can throw that game out the window. We played 3 in the back. We had 4 days to train it. We consciously made a decision. We needed to do something,
right,
and we had to try something at that point. And look, it backfired and kicked us in the ass, but we all made that decision, and since then, we moved on. We've been okay.
I've also said, another guy asked a question about, you know, how can we score 7 goals in one game and then none the next? I mean, just as we have to throw out the occasional clunker, we kind of have to throw out the seven-goal game.
That was an outlier, too.
That's not...
That game meant nothing.
Yeah, that was our game plan. We planned on scoring seven. Yeah.
It was... Right. They were awful, but we took advantage.
But so as we're saying this and we're talking about last year, if you look at the numbers, statistically, we're not much better off than we were at this point last year. You know, literally on today, on the 8th of last year, we had four games at home, four on the road left. And if you take out that seven-goal game, the numbers are almost identical. And last year, we were all doom and gloom at this point in time.
I think we knew last year that maybe our team wasn't as good as we had hoped.
No, absolutely.
This year, I think we think it's better than the numbers suggest.
Mm-hmm. No, I think we'd all agree.
And that's kind of the thing that the numbers keep saying is that, you know, you add a guy like Herrera, and he's been the difference maker in a lot of the statistics, but yet you look beyond Urban, and we're not getting the help up, you know, scoring outside of him. You know, we're looking at four goals as the next person. You know, we need to have more contribution. You take Urban out of the mix, and it's not a lot different in a lot of respects.
But you don't have to take him out because he's here.
That's the GM swagger I like to hear. But, yeah, it's just been one of those frustrating things for a lot of the fans here is that, you know, we sit here and see, you know, in a vacuum, losing or a tie, you know, okay, that was a good team. But in this big picture, we're dropping points that we can't afford to drop, and that's terrifying.
Yeah, nobody disagrees. I think the difference is with eight games, we're in the thick of it. We weren't last year. You know, maybe that's because of the conference or the makeup or points or teams in front of us. Like we said, you know, the difference between fifth place and 12th place. I mean, I
the difference between fifth and third is 4 points. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's,
and,
you know.
With eight games to go, we have everything to play for. And I'll be honest, this weekend, we were off this weekend. My family's out of town. I sat around and kicked myself. And
You were in the recliner, weren't you?
I was in the recliner watching Netflix and pouted. And, no, we're not this. We're not. You know, we got. You know,
we'll loan you to Wilmington.
Yeah. Not Netflix and chill, just Netflix. Okay. I mean, we got eight fucking games to go, and we have everything to play for. And so does Arizona, and so does Seattle, and so does Rio, and so does
Well,
SAC,
I mean, it's the good news. I mean, we're playing these teams that we're fighting against. So,
and you know, as fans, as supporters, as front office, as players, as coaches, if we're not excited about having those games to get after, we all could be disappointed about the pay. I mean, I'm freaking pissed. I mean, dropping points, we drop points at home is unacceptable. You know, still to only have one home loss, I was all kind of excited about it, and I started cutting off the ties going, shit, that's killing us. But the fact of the matter is we're playing for something on Saturday, and we're playing for something up at Kansas City on that Sunday. And there's something to be said for being in that spot right now. Do I wish it was better? Heck yeah, I do. But the fact is we have a chance to get after something here, and if we don't do that, we don't grab it, then we got a lot to talk about. Yeah. But you know, we have a chance to get after it.
I want to interject. You mentioned going to Kansas City. We will have information. We are taking a bus to Kansas City, so you guys will have a corner of Luligan's. I'm sure they'll stick us like in the upper deck of Mercy Park because that's what they
do. Probably put you at Swope, even though we're playing at the other place.
We're actually in the same exact section we were for the Open Cup game.
Okay.
So I think we'll be able to spread out a bit this time.
Will we be within spitting distance of the zoo?
Nope, they'll be on the other side.
Okay,
there's
good.
There's 100 and...
Can we hang out with some of our friends from the Cauldron? Because those guys are pretty cool. The zoo and the Fountain Ultras. Are spitting at people.
Anyway, it's either we're in a section 124 and there's 128 seats, or in section 128 and there's 124 seats. Can't remember which way it goes. Regardless,
so look on Facebook and Twitter this week. We'll be having information about our bus
and we have
tickets.
Our link for those that want to, you know, do their own thing, spend a weekend up there. They're giving us a couple bucks off the price of a ticket for our own section. So there's really no reason for people not to go because it's cheaper than they're charging everybody else.
And if you haven't been there, it's an amazing ballpark.
It's
so
a fantastic play. You can get yourself some KC Joe's barbecue.
Come watch St. Louis FC beat the Swope Park Rangers.
I want to go in there and take points in their big, glorious, perfect stadium.
We have never been anywhere en masse and got a win.
No.
We need
it's a good time to start.
To win while there's 70 of us there. And we will have a
win,
party.
Win for the bus.
Yeah.
Yes.
We should put that on a scarf.
Yeah.
All
right. That's the shirt.
Let's go back to more questions.
Somebody get Ryan printing those up.
This is a good one from Jake Trokey. He thinks the main difference this year and last year, and it came true towards the end of the season last year where we had that great run of four wins at home, The owners would buy us beer before the game and wheel it down. PK was there wheeling the mobile bar down. He thinks that's the big difference. And if we really want to win versus Sacramento, get Fred to buy some beer and wheel it down to us.
The record stands for itself.
Fair enough.
Your thoughts as a GM, do you think that's worth exploring?
It's worth exploring now that we're towards the end of the season. We couldn't do it in the middle because last time we did it was Minnesota and we crapped ourselves and
lost out on
the chance to host an MLS team. So now that we're at the end, we can do it.
Well, wait a minute. We hosted Minnesota. We hosted an MLS team.
Not yet.
All right.
Look on the bright side. Next year, they do go up to MLS, right? So we won't play them in the fourth round.
There
so
we go.
Be somebody else.
we'll play them in the fifth round.
Probably not Rayo.
Ooh.
Ooh.
This one's from Jim Bellinger. This is an interesting question. Comes up a lot and actually addresses the job of GM for you rather than coaching. Contract negotiations with our current players. You know, I don't know if you're at liberty to say whose contract is running up or who's, you know, signed to another year, but do you negotiate that during the season or is that all wait till the end of the season?
Depends on the circumstance and situation. We have a little bit of both.
Can you say anybody that's under contract for next year at least?
So if we can get all 28 other teams to let us know who's coming back on their contracts,
right.
I'll be happy to tell you.
Right.
And look, that's not me dodging the question.
It's the way it is.
Yeah.
Unlike MLS where we know how much everybody makes and we know how long they're signed for.
Right.
It's like the NHL upper body injury.
Yeah, I don't want to give an advantage saying that, you know, we have these three guys and options and these three guys we don't, and then all of a sudden we
But I assume you're already looking at that stuff.
Yeah, we're
making decisions for next year.
Yeah, for sure.
So let's just say that there's, you know, a guy that sat on the bench two games ago and we did well.
Hutch?
Yes.
We have not been able to get a hold of his people yet.
Okay.
He's taken off. He's doing pretty well.
I mean, in a certain way, he retired 1-0. You know, he's really accomplished everything he can at this level. He's waiting for bigger offers.
I'm just seeing victory. That's all I see. I see a win behind his name. That's all that matters.
We got Mike McHugh next, and of course you know it's going to be a Chicago Fire question.
Wait, what?
Yeah, Mike McHugh, big Fire fan. He said Patrick Doody was on the bench recently for Chicago. How's he doing? You know, have you talked to him recently? And is there a chance he'll be coming back? Again, we mentioned Parker's down. It'd be nice to have him back if he's ready.
Or anyone. I mean, like Drew or...
Yeah, we'd all love Drew back, but we'll get to that later. What about Patrick?
Yeah, so I talked to Patrick 2 weeks ago. So not last week, but the week prior. He's doing well. You know, he got in the 18 this past weekend. You know, they were cautious with his return and getting him back and everything. I had a conversation with the Fire last week about, you know, we may need some help at left back depending, you know, with Parker's situation, what we find out and all that. So we've had some discussions with them. They're just in a situation right now where it's, you know, difficult for them. They got some guys that haven't got through with their visa, a couple of new signings that they've signed, and they got some guys with suspensions and injuries and such. So we're going
to
have a follow-up conversation.
To be fair, they need all the help they can get at this point.
We're gonna have a follow-up conversation about duty specifically after the Open Cup game tomorrow that they have. So we'll have some more information on that later.
But is there a chance maybe Patrick would come back?
Yeah, I think there's a chance.
He's healthy enough to play now. I mean,
He's in their 18, so you know, I think he's back. So I think there's definitely an opportunity for him here.
Now, see, obviously Chicago's doing something wrong because according to Rayo OKC, you can have people on tourist visas working. So they're doing this all wrong.
Next up, Brawley. Good question. Changing conferences every year. I know it hasn't officially been announced that we're moving back to the East, but there are rumors that we'll be going back to the East. Does that affect you at all, or you just play the team? Do you have a preference of East or West, or is it just whatever happens, and we'll deal with that?
Yeah, no, I can't. This is one thing I can't say anything about right now, still, unfortunately.
Did you think moving to the West was good, or did you think it really doesn't make any difference?
I mean, you can go either way. I mean, we're just smack in the middle, so going West, going East, there's pluses and minuses to both.
The 9 o'clock watch parties suck.
for you guys, and for our guys, travel wise is difficult.
Sort of stumps in the middle of Harrisburg's field.
I guess, and we'll follow that up with any comment on the rumored Central Division coming.
We're excited about what 2018 is going to bring.
Okay.
So we think there's some some really good things happening.
Cool. This one's from Jason Petrillo. You've talked about it. We've talked about it, creating that environment. You know, it's no secret. Some places aren't very attractive to play at from a fan standpoint. You know, some teams, mostly the MLS, two teams get 100 people out to a park. You know, we have a good crowd, places like Louisville, Cincinnati now, Sacramento. That's important when you're attracting players. How important is it when a player comes in, or is winning still the ultimate? You know, would a guy rather win in front of 100 people or be mid-table in front of 19,000 in Cincinnati?
Every player is different in what they're looking for. Some guys may be looking for that, you know, quote-unquote development opportunity with an MLS team. Some guys may be looking for a paycheck. Everybody's looking to play in front of people, whether that's the top listener priority, number two, or for some guys that fall further down, you know, they're like, look, if I can play for an MLS 2 team, there's 200 people there. That's great. At least I'm in the eye of the MLS team, and I can, you know, more readily get looks. Everybody's different, but, you know, we use it. I would tell you this. We use it in our recruiting. We have a video that we'll have to update with some new things from this year and some good stuff that's been done, you know, with you guys and the crowds and everything we've been able to do in the community. And we send it out to agents, and we send it out to players that they look at, you know, sent to Chad last year, sent it to Irvin. And we were going through all those talks. And I think more and more, you know, players want to play in that environment. So it's a big piece of, you know, how we sell what we have.
And you know, after, what is it, two-thirds of the season now, has Chad's expectations been met, you know, on and off the field? Has Irvin's been like, oh, yeah, you were right, this is amazing?
Oh, yeah, they got that from day one. Uh-huh. You know, when people show up at the airport at the USL level with a scarf to welcome them here.
That's just Bert.
Really, that's not happened anywhere else. When, you know, people are making friends with them, you know, welcome them here, you know, at the beginning of the season, and they see the first game, and, you know, it's just walking in here for the AGM. I mean, I remember Sheila Shuma, Timbers Army, right? Portland kid, yeah. Portland player, not a kid, you know, played up there and all that, and he walks in, and his eyes were like saucers. He's like, wow. And somebody turned around and said, told you. So, yeah, their expectations have been met. I mean, they've felt it.
Have they got any mates that can tell?
We're always working that angle.
Just not the El Salvador defenders.
No.
Yeah. Adam Burkhardt wants to know, transfer window, how does it work in USL, and is there still a chance we can bring players in, you know, other than maybe a loan from the Fire? But obviously we loaned Lynch out, so it's possible to bring someone in. But are you still looking? Are you still having, you know, calls with agents? Are you, you know?
Yeah, we
were in the Pogba running.
Pogba, no, for a variety of reasons. I want him to – well, never mind. Yeah, I mean, there's – it's difficult. So right now the window is closed for us.
Okay.
If they're on a team outside of North America. So if there was someone we wanted – we have a trade deadline coming up here 1st of September. We have a roster deadline 1st of September. Anyone that we bring in on loan has to get 5 games in before the playoffs. Because we will be in the playoffs,
which I want to mention is good because that keeps MLS teams
dropping 10 guys in.
Right.
Yep. So, you know, those are the type of things that we have to look at. We looked pretty hard. We pursued, you know, pretty active. We just couldn't find the right fit. And the other thing too is timing. You know, by the time somebody gets through the visa stuff, that's 10 to 14 days, and then not knowing exactly what their fitness level was if they've been off since May and now they're coming here in July. So. You know, we looked at quite a few things. You know, we will have a couple guys coming in this week, you know, from Chicago on loan that will come in here that we've been, you know, going back and forth trying to sort some things out. So, yeah, we're looking forward to, you know, to those guys joining us. And then that'll get announced here as soon as all the paperwork's signed off on and everything. But, you know, we're not done. You're never done. I mean, you look as long as you can.
Tim Reeder wants to know, at the start of the season, what were your goals? Was it simply make the playoffs? Was it, you know, host a first round of the playoffs? You know, how specific were your goals at the beginning of the season? And whatever those goals were, are we still on track to hopefully achieve those?
I mean, from the Q&A we did with Jim and Tom and Pat and myself last year and Dale, I mean, we said from the get-go it was, you know, playoffs or bust, so to speak. And I think, you know, one of the great things about American sports, one of the difficult things about American sports, you just have to get in. you know, you'd love to be at home. Some people say, oh, I'd rather be on the road, no distractions. You just want to get in.
Yeah.
You want to get in and get a chance. I mean, look at Portland right now in MLS. Yesterday's win, that put them above the line for the first time in a long time.
And these that's are defending champions.
Defending champions. So when you look at us being below the line, all we want to do is get above it.
Right.
It doesn't. I don't care if.
You hit the reset
button. Swope uses two ineligible players in the last day, and they're forfeit 2 points, and that puts us in. I don't care.
Yeah.
Just
that'd be beautiful, actually.
Just get us in that.
I'm sold.
Just get us in that stinking thing. That's our goal.
Okay.
Start looking at their eligibility, guys. We can do this.
We've touched on the Fire several times in tonight's conversation. Dan Doak wants to know that relationship with the Fire. You know, last year, obviously, we saw more. We saw Alec Kahn down here for a large portion of the season. We saw Patrick Doody down here. This year, Drew Connor, no doubt, was very helpful early in the year. And for his play, he was rewarded and brought back to the Fire. Patrick suffered an injury. So we haven't had a lot of help from the Fire this year on the field. But how do you feel the relationships with the Fire is going? Is it something we're going to look to extend to next year, or is that still too early to even talk about?
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the year, we'll sit down with them, and they'll sit down with us, and we'll discuss this year and, you know, what were their thoughts, what were our thoughts. It's a one-year deal, and we've said that from the
get-go. Are you disappointed with the amount of players we've had from them, or is it just the way it works out?
It's hard to say because I'm not Nelson.
I mean, their job isn't to make us a better team. Their job is to make the Chicago Fire a better team.
Yeah, and I think, you know, for them, you have to look at it this way. And it was, you know, new general manager, new coaching staff who had never coached an MLS before. They didn't know what the season was like. They didn't know the Open Cup. You know, they've had a lot of change. I saw somewhere in the other day that they've made 36 roster moves since last December. So they've had a ton of changes and stuff coming in. So
I'm excited. Hasn't helped much, has it?
Yeah. I'm excited we got these guys coming in.
Yeah.
But it's just been a learning process for their staff as far as the ins and outs of, you know, and then they've had injuries and they've had some suspensions. And so it hasn't flowed like they would want. It hasn't flowed like we would want. But that doesn't mean it's wrong or it's bad or it's not done the right way. It's just it is what it is, and it's
well. And we've seen the opposite happen too. We've seen MLS teams sort of dictate, "No, you're mm-hmm. going to play our guys," and that definitely wouldn't fly down here either. So,
right. It's like anything in sports; you take it for what it is. I mean, you know, Patrick McClain went and you know stood on his head against Sacramento for us and helped us get 3 points, and that was huge. That may be the 3 points that gets us in.
And that,
so yeah, we don't know.
That
so
alone could be worth the affiliation.
Yep, yeah, that could be it. So.
Is he busy on Saturday?
let's talk about Mark Gardner. He wants to know, Urban Herrera, I mean, we've all been very pleased with him. I'm sure as general manager you've been happy with that deal you made to bring him here.
Good job.
We're proud of you.
But, I mean, the fact of the matter is he's, after teams have kind of seen him, we kind of know the book on him, and I think they've been trying to out-physical him. They've been trying to put a body on him and, you know, abuse him a little bit up front. I mean, we've seen him practically get tackled at times. Is he adjusting to the physical nature of the game here? Is it something that he's just going to have to get a little stronger to work through or quicker, or what's the plan for him?
Two things. One, I think he has adjusted. If you look at his numbers in the analytics that we get after each game, 24 hours from the company that we use, his hold-up play, his number of possessions kept has increased. So having somebody up there next to him has helped.
Yeah.
You know, if you look at the last three games, he's been much better in that realm. And the other thing is,
does he feel it that that's what they're trying to do? They're trying to body him out, or does he even notice that he's just playing his game?
He's just playing his. And look, he's analyzing. He's looking at it. I mean, he was, you know. He hadn't scored in a while. He was down the dumps, and he said it in his post-game interview. He's like, look, I got that goal, and I'm a different person. I mean, that's what I told you guys that, you know, back in the winter. It's what he lives to do is get in behind and try to score goals. So, he's analyzing it, trying to figure it out and what he needs to do. But I think his last run of games here, he's been better in that regard. We still don't play to his strengths enough. Had a conversation with the coaching staff about that. The amount of possession that we play in front of teams' back fours is too much. We need to try to get – and, look, I have the best view in the whole – stadium because I can stand up top and I can see all the early movements that we don't see to play him in, you know, but we got some time to keep working on that, keep figuring that out.
I'll take that opportunity to take a drink of beer.
I was going to say, you timed it poorly.
So we can have, yeah, sorry, my bad.
That was the best goal of the month, though, right? That Chipotle Colorado.
It was a penalty right. kick, right?
No. Right, we were only 19,000 votes short in the USL poll. Daniel Holm wants to know, compared to the other rosters in USL, you know, you're the GM, you put this, I mean, with help, it wasn't just you, but you put this squad together. Do you think we're talented enough to be competitive in this league? Are we maybe, I mean, obviously you always want to win more games, but do you think this with this roster, we're a playoff team, or do you think, I wish we were, you know, better here or better there?
One more guy. I think everybody in the league wishes they had one more guy.
Well, sure, sure. But are you happy with the team you've assembled?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I think you'd always want a little bit more. I think you'd always want some guys to perform a little better. You want some guys to maybe get adjusted a little bit quicker to the team, to the environment, to the league. You know, so you always wish that you were a little bit stronger in that realm. But, you know, if we can get in the playoffs, I'll take our chances with this team. And I think that's how you have to look at it.
Yeah.
If we can get in there, then
I think when
I
we as
go
fans, most of us who sit around and maybe obsess about this more than we should for a non-paid gig, we recognize, you know, I'm pretty happy with the players we have in the spot. Obviously, like you said, you always want more depth. You always want someone better. But I think, you know, it's pretty good. I mean, you're happy that this is a playoff caliber team.
Yeah, I mean, that's we built it to be a playoff team. If we don't make the playoffs, then, you know, then we've all failed. I mean, that's the reality of it. So people can say, oh, I wish we had a little more of this, a little more of that. I agree. I wish there were some things that we were better at, but
it's
what we have.
It's at this point
to make it,
you know, and I mean, maybe you do too, but, you know, we do have the MLS every year that day the salaries all come out and we can compare. You know, it makes me wonder what a Cincinnati's paying, what a Louisville's paying, what, you know. I mean, I know some of these guys, these teams are just maxed on credit cards.
I think
to get these guys in.
I think Louisville's recent statement about the stadium being
$700,000 a year loss.
Yeah, that's. I mean,
that's mental.
That's massive. Yeah. I mean, at this
we do own our own stadium. You know, we don't have to pay rent every week,
and we get our concession stand and all that kind of stuff. So talking about the team, the way it's built and stuff like that. How do we come out better in the first half? Because we have problems in the first half. Our second halves are fantastic.
It seems like when the other team scores, we wake up and start playing well.
I don't know. I mean, I wish I had an answer.
I mean, do you need to set an alarm in the locker room? Hey, boys, game starts at 7:30.
We've tried some different things.
Maybe have a scrimmage beforehand so they think it's actually the second quarter, or second half.
Play some 5v5 in the parking lot, in the tailgate.
Just tell them we're starting a goal down, guys.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been addressed. We've looked at the stats. We have a broken down our first 15 minutes of every game. Do we get a shot off in the first 15? How many balls do we win back? How much possession do we have? I mean, we've broken it all down, and at the end of the day, it comes down to the guys making plays in those first 15 minutes to then get you through the last 30. So I wish I had an answer for that one.
Daniel Holm again, and this is, again, I don't want to make excuses. Like, just like we're not going to make excuses for Sporting Kansas City sending down four guys. We can only play the team that's in front of us. Same with officials. We've seen some horrible officiating this year. And I'm not going to blame a loss. And I know you can't say anything about specific incidents. But is there an official process for addressing calls that you think were bad? Is there an appeal? I mean, it's not an appeal because what's done is done. But do you send in reports to the league on the officiating with video evidence of
Jordan getting his legs kicked out from underneath?
Yeah,
him,
I mean,
no call.
No, Brian Strauss did that for us.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, that was another. He came in town, saw the game. But I mean, is there a sort of a review process where you give the refs a grade on these things or not?
I got to be careful because there'll probably be referees listening to
I'm
this.
I'm not asking you about any specific calls or giving.
I don't fill out the forms.
Okay.
Because I was told.
It'll come back to haunt you even if.
Yeah, not too many years ago that, look, nothing changes.
Right.
The fact of the matter is the majority of these guys, this is not their profession.
Right.
So on Monday, they go back to whatever it is that they do, selling insurance, teachers, school administrator, whatever it is, they go back to it on Monday. And then the next weekend, regardless of their performance, they'll be back reffing again.
Yeah.
So if you fill out that form and you put down things, it'll get back to them, and they'll know it. And B, nothing happens. And I believe that because I was told that by somebody. So I don't fill out the forms because I just think it's a waste of time. And
do
look,
you feel more or less it balances out over the course of the year? I mean, we've gotten some lucky calls, too. I mean, obviously, as a fan of St. Louis FC, I'm going to say, no, we always get screwed. But sometimes we get a lucky call, too.
Yeah.
Do you think it balances out, or are you aggrieved?
I'll tell you at the end of the season.
Okay. If we make the playoffs, everything's fine. But
you know, it's funny because Bird always makes a statement, third division league, third division refs. You know, you kind of get what you – and in the United States, getting good refereeing in soccer is difficult because – parents are evil. Fans are awful. It's a thankless job.
Ask Jesse Marsh what he feels of the refs from last night's game.
It happens at
the Premier League level,
sure,
too.
Yeah, yeah. Sure. But it's hard for us being fans watching just terrible fucking calls.
Yeah, but here's the thing, Mitch. We can miss Vin Cicerelli. 2 yards out against Tulsa.
Misses a sitter. Nothing we can do about it.
But you'll forgive Vince. But if the referee makes a horrible call, you are on his back for 90 minutes.
I haven't forgiven Vince.
But you know what I mean? No, I agree. We'll forgive our striker from blasting it in the rosy.
And that's where I was going to head with it. It's like, you know, we have to rise above because when you're winning, you get the calls. You know, when you're playing well,
it doesn't matter.
The ball goes
at the end of the year, they're not going to come out and say, well, you know, Louisville won the championship, but really, if you go back and look at it, St. Louis they should have won because three referees blew their calls that night. It doesn't matter.
And look, it's really, really hard for me. Anybody that's ever known me as a coach or in this role, including last year in the city of Charleston when I've gotten some issues, it's very hard to sit there and just go, "Yep, it is what it is." But to be honest, that's what it is. Yeah. I mean, it is just.
You could be like O'Connor and bitch about when that was one referee call.
That was unbelievable.
Yeah.
That was. I mean, I think what he said there, a lot of guys would like to say that.
Yeah. But if you'd only lost two games the whole year, you should really not bitch about it too much.
That was kind of my point.
My God. They had a player. Pittsburgh had a player sent off and a penalty against Louisville this week, man.
Yeah.
Horseshoe. Lucky horseshoe, Jeremy.
Told you that. We texted about that one.
All right, let's talk about a little bit about the – this came up earlier in the season and it was sort of thrust upon you before the first game of the season, the PDL squad. We wanted to have you on to talk about that, but things got out of the way.
Well, no, we were winning, and Jeremy wouldn't come on when we were winning. Let's make sure that's –
I like coming for the tough shit.
What is the overall philosophy with the PDL team? Is it going to continue? Is this – And Ryan Grass specifically wanted to know, will they play in Collinsville next year, or what's the goal, what's the plan for the PDL squad?
The plan is to play at the park.
At Soccer Park. Okay.
We don't have an answer on that yet.
Okay.
There's obviously some things. We met with Tony and the Lions and, you know, good conversations with them. But, you know, it's above both of our heads on what that's going to turn into. You know, but good to sit down with him and talk about things for sure.
Is it something that fits into the overall Gallagher plan? I know this year is kind of weird because...
We wanted it. We just didn't want it 8 days before the season began.
Right.
It was very difficult on all of us. But we pulled it off. We got through it. Had a few good moments, had a few tough moments, but it's something that we will look to continue. It's a great gap, you know, for us to do the following things. One, look at guys that maybe aren't quite ready for the USL team. They can play as amateurs. Look at college guys that we may be looking to bring in a year or two. And then for our academy guys that train with the first team but maybe aren't getting as many minutes or aren't getting minutes with the first team, they can play with the PDL as well. So it's a... You know, it's a good one for us.
It fills a role within the whole Gallagher family.
Yep, and for St. Louis FC as well, for sure.
Okay.
Speaking of the college guys, last year at the beginning of the season or early on, we went to the SLU banquet. You know, we got to go and there were some players there.
Met Tyler David for the first time. Yeah.
Why don't you just step on my line?
Sorry.
Jesus H. Christ. Sorry. But he's a great example. Is that, you know, here's a guy that, you know, we saw then. You know, you guys had said good things about him when we were standing there. Here he is today. You know, we seem to find these college guys that kind of fill in the roles real well. Is that part of the general agenda, I guess, for lack of a better word? It seems to be that we really have a strong college base. That it's Instead of relying on PDL guys, instead of relying on the free agents, we find these really good college players.
It's a strength of our staff, I think, from the academy ties with Dale and myself. And
do you also
and
go to Tim. The banquets for Cess IUE and Lindenwood?
There's a few guys we'd like from some of those schools right now. I think we're pretty locked in. We're pretty dialed into those guys, and it's all about finding the right fit. We've lucked out with a Parker and a Tyler have been able to come in. And we also lucked out with a Bushu who sat out for a year and didn't have anything. So it's just we got to keep expanding our scouting, our networking, and continue to build out. Irvin was a big first step. Chad Musa was a big first step that first year. We just got to keep doing better and better with those situations that we bring in.
More banquets. That's what I just heard.
Banquets. Yeah, all the journalists will
be at the
banquets.
SLU one tomorrow night.
There you go.
It's the Bill McDermott night
coming up at the park, right? Some of the players are going to come out and watch the game.
That might have been last weekend, I think. Yeah, I'm not sure.
Well, I know Tyler mentioned it. I think Vince mentioned it last year. I mean, they came out and saw St. Louis FC as fans, as, you know, just St. Louis soccer players. And I got to think that planted the seed in their heads that, you know, This is a next step that I'd love to be a part of.
An attainable goal.
Yeah. This next question may be the most important question, and we don't have a whole lot more, but this one might be the most important. A longtime listener, first-time poster, Fred, would like to know. He noticed that after the win against Colorado, which we all think was a fantastic win. I mean, maybe one of the best wins of the season. Good squad. We won that game. He noticed that during that game, you were wearing a St. Louis FC polo, St. Louis FC shorts, and St. Louis FC socks. And he's wondering, he's heard you're a bit superstitious. Why aren't you wearing that outfit every day?
So to Fred.
Is that a GM full kit wanker move?
It was kind of a full kit wanker.
First of all, I did not have St. Louis FC socks on.
Oh, okay.
Those are the same black Nike socks I have on every day.
I was going to say they're dress socks.
He said they were St. Louis FC dress socks.
No, Fred is mistaken. And that's what happens when you get older. I think, there might be a time to bring that out.
Because you are a little superstitious, right?
Oh, a lot superstitious.
You're not superstitious, but you're a little stitious.
Yeah. he wouldn't come on the podcast when we were winning.
That's right.
So that alone.
Notice he's here tonight.
We're just tying.
Yes, he'll be on when we draw. What about the outfit? What can we get the shirt combo going again?
That was Colorado Springs, like 113 that day.
Yeah.
We were just sweating.
I believe you also said you cut your grass that day, too.
No, Fred said I cut my grass. I cut my grass actually the next day. It was in the evening.
Okay.
But, it might make a return.
Okay. Thanks, Fred.
Which actually leads me to a question.
Okay.
Completely unrelated to Fred, of course, because Fred's just a fan. But how's the owner influx been this year? I mean, are they... Obviously, they're soccer guys. They have a keen mind for the game, and they have their input because, damn it, it's their money. But, how's their interaction been this year?
It's the same. And that's the thing you're going to get from them is just even keel. Doesn't mean they're not upset. Doesn't mean they're not.
I don't see Cav throwing chairs in the locker room.
But during the town hall last year, Cav said one of his initial statements to Dale was, look, I'm not going to call you after every game and micromanage. But he said... But there was a stretch during last season where I would call and tell Dale what I thought.
Yeah.
I mean, they're paying attention to their investment. They are personally invested, not just financially invested in the team.
I mean, we're just so, so lucky. I mean, there's no other way to put it. What we have from those guys and from our board, which is the direction, the insight, the follow through. I mean, things that they said we were going to do, we're able to do.
Fred got us a clock.
Yeah, there you go. So, I mean, it was... we're really fortunate that way, and they just, they're smart. They pick and choose the moments well, and, it's just, we're just lucky.
Next question. This is from, this is not a real name. This is Blue Chip Loge Box. We noticed earlier in the season we had a situation with the porta potties under Section 8. It was pretty bad there for a couple games, but we got that fixed. So far it's been pretty good. But he wants to know, is there any plans for permanent stadium improvements in the situation over there? Maybe putting in a permanent restroom behind Section 8 or something like that.
I mean, when
I know you're not, you know, the owner making these
right.
decisions.
I mean, when we first started looking at things, we wanted to put something permanent behind the east stands over there from a restroom standpoint, from a concession standpoint. But due to the floods,
right.
You know, that just kind of reiterated in our mind that we are on a floodplain. We have to be very careful with the investments we make and what we can do and legally what we can do. There's certain things we can't do on the property in those parts. So, unfortunately, there's nothing, you know, in the plans for anything permanent over there. We just have to make sure we don't screw up like we did that one game. I think it was just one game where it was awful, and I think we've adjusted it and corrected it, and we just got to be better, which I think we have been.
What about maybe even moving the porta potties to the? There's a walkway
a little farther away from the corner.
That's so, perpendicular.
Yeah. Then when you look at it, is from a staffing standpoint, you have to increase the amount of staffing because of, you know, we still have people that try to sneak in.
Yeah.
People that will just walk in, and then lighting over there. So it's doesn't mean it can't happen. But then look, you're saying that, and there's five people listening tomorrow going, oh, that means I got to walk farther to go take a leak. So you never make anybody happy. But
and we don't get to play beer can Plinko, which is part of the problem.
That is fun. That is fun in the back row.
I don't need to know about that.
Yes. Well, there's always three interns standing back there doing nothing. So we try to get
those
them
are interns,
a show.
Those are people that sneak in because they thought they're.
So you get the polo and you can just walk right in.
That's the thing. Let's get the khakis and the polos.
This next one is from Greg Halvax, along the same lines. We talked last year both on the owner's podcast and on the town hall. Any plans for expansion in the seating? Is it still depend on, you know, we have to have consistent sellouts every game? Or is this, you know, not your job to worry about seating?
We'll make improvements again next year to the park. What exactly those are. At the end of the season, we'll sit down. We'll get feedback, and you know, like we did this year at the Craft Corner, was very important to us. We wanted a permanent structure there. We wanted something that we didn't have to haul in and out,
which is fantastic. That is just
that's worked out really
addition.
Well. We're happy with that.
Good. You know, the clock, the Heineken Corner, the Seiberg's Corner. So we'll do some things to make it even better. Permanent stands behind. That would take a really big investment.
Them. I mean, it would be not good to bring them in and have them empty.
Right.
So we need the.
Yep.
So that's on the fans. Show up.
Yeah. Maybe we'll get a roof before we get that.
Yeah, that'd be good too. Eric Von Ida wants to know. We've seen last year we dealt with Pace and we dealt with Can sharing time. You know, it was a more of a one game situation. This year, Pace and Thompson have taken long stretches. I mean, part of it was Thompson was away on Gold Cup duty. Now, any thoughts on why we're doing the long stretches versus every other game? I mean, is Ryan been hurt? Is that why Pace is playing? Or
Ryan was banged up for a couple of games in a row.
Okay.
For the most part, it's been performance.
Okay.
So does that change for Saturday? You know, we'll find out.
I think the good news is they're both good keepers. Mm-hmm. I mean, last year I was very satisfied with our keeper situation. This year I've been very satisfied.
You'd like to have a consistent. You'd like to have one guy back there, I think, for a lot of reasons. But it just hasn't been in the cards this year, you know, from Ryan getting injured out in Orange County and then the Copa and the Gold Cup being gone and, you know, some performance issues for both of them. But, you know, we're lucky, you know, with what we have.
I think most teams would be happy to have just one of them, much less two.
Sure. Yeah. Okay, I'm on my last card of questions here, Jeremy. You've been a trooper. You've hung out. Matthew.
I hope you guys have some other questions because this has been too easy.
I have a question.
I knew it.
You guys suck. Why? No. Sorry. No.
It'll be a bit more
all right, now I got some time to think about it. Good. Thanks, bro.
Matthew Brungard wants to know what if the team doesn't make the playoffs? We've said, you know, this is your goal. What changes will that cause? I mean, you know, is it time to blow it up and start all over again, or are we still an incremental tweaking to get there? I mean, obviously at this point, you're still convinced we're going to make the playoffs. That's what your goal has to be. But have you thought forward to, if we don't make the playoffs, what are we going to do?
I haven't thought about it. Just because I think the mindset that, you know, all of us need to have is let's pursue it, let's get after it, Let's continue to believe. Let's continue to fight for it. You know, let's go.
Honestly, in my darker moments,
you know,
I thought we're not going to do this.
And get Brad after it.
Let's be honest. Brad has darker moments every day. Yeah. So
before I take my Xanax in the afternoon.
You know, so, I mean, when I'm sitting there, I'm looking at the table, you know, today going, and look, I watched all the results for the weekend. And like I told the guys today, there were so many things that went our way again.
Yeah.
Sacramento's PK, right or wrong. I know Bird's opinion.
Seattle didn't Tulsa's, win.
Tulsa's game against Swope got rained out, and Tulsa had 2 days rest.
Mm-hmm.
That helps us. So there's so many things that are lining up. Now it's up to us. Now it's up to the guys in the field. It's up to the preparation work we're going to do this week to take care of it. If we fall short, then we'll do what we always do as an organization. We'll step back. We'll take a deep breath. We'll be disappointed. And we'll look at, you know, where are our shortcomings, you know, on the field, off the field, what changes need to be made. I don't think it's a situation that needs to be blown up. I just got done telling you I'm happy with our team. We need to make some changes and do some things? Yeah, of course. But I don't think it's we don't have to start over from scratch. We would just need to make some adjustments and be ready to, you know, to get after it again in the off season.
Following on a bit from that, my question's going to be, and I'm asking this because after every game, I see the descent, especially when games aren't going our way. I see the descent online. A lot of us do not have confidence in Dale. You know, and I'm speaking for a lot of people here. What do you?
We had a podcast where basically three of us said,
and
it's time.
We're not a minority at this point, Brad, and I know you can't comment on Dale, but what do you say to the people out there that don't have confidence in us going forward with the status quo we've got?
We got 8 games to get to the playoffs, and I'll sit here and tell you we play San Antonio twice. We play Oklahoma City twice. We play SAC. We have our biggest rival coming to our place to play. We get to go play in front of.
If we could get a 7-goal game versus Louisville, so we can overcome the difference in the King's Cup,
then nothing else would matter. Is that what you're telling me?
Nothing else would matter, okay. But it would soothe things a little bit.
And I'm gonna get to your question, Bird. And then we have Cincinnati on the road, and if we can't be excited to go play in front of X amount, whatever right. it truly is, or whatever, and Cincinnati was our darkest day, in my opinion.
Yeah,
that was our worst performance. If we can't go in there to chip on our shoulder. And most likely towards the end of the season, they're going to be in the playoffs. Are they resting a couple guys? Are they not resting a couple guys? So for me, it's set up for us to take advantage of. If we don't take advantage of it, then I think it's natural for everybody to look for changes to be made. And I think all that I can tell people is I think from day one, we've been very transparent. We've been very open. And when we've made mistakes, we've made up for them. Or when changes need to be made, we've made them. We haven't hid behind anything. We haven't, not answered questions. We haven't just kind of stayed status quo and said, okay, we're okay. We've always looked at
he
how can we make
do
things
the
better.
Wizard of Oz, do not look behind the curtain.
Yeah, so I think that's the only assurance that I can give people. There's nothing else I can say here tonight, obviously. But I think just like we did last year when we knew we needed more of this, we needed more of that, and we needed to improve here, we went out and we did it. Now, has that helped the results this year? Some games, yeah. You know, we got a guy that scored 11 goals for us.
Yeah.
You know, and that's something last year at this time we all thought was never
going to
happen.
He's not going to the German fourth division, is he?
I don't think so. So, I mean, all I can say is that the way that we're set up as an organization is that we look deep, and we do a deep dive, as we like to say, into where we're at, where do we need to go, and what do we need to get after, and you know, and we'll do that regardless if we make the playoffs and lose in the Western final and PKs to, you know, Vancouver or whatever happens. You know,
that's
going
to
be
that's our only chance to go to Vancouver.
Last question I have for you, and I think Bird's got a few more after this one.
I'm done.
Nope, Bird's done.
That was my only
question.
Well,
this is actually a good one to end it on. Peter Jordan wants to know, you know, you've built this team. You probably know them more than any of us do. What's the team's biggest strength? What's the team's biggest weakness? And if you could go back and make one change, you know, what position would you strengthen in more or regrets you have? No pressure.
That's the toughest question of the night. Because the other ones, are, I mean, he's just It's just, it is what it is. Our biggest strength is our honesty every day.
And I that's something you might have said your fans, but go ahead.
That's what I was. I was that's the club strength, not the team strength. Okay, there's a big difference between a club and a team. There's also a difference between a franchise and a club too, but we won't talk about that on this podcast.
There we go.
Kind if you want.
No.
So we're all taking a bus of Sporting KC. What?
Never mind. No, biggest strength. You're honest with yourselves. You're
no, just our guys show up and they do work every day, and I couldn't have said that last year. And our biggest strength is you come and watch us train, you would not know that we're sitting just outside the playoff line. Had you come 3 weeks ago, you would not have known that we had just lost a really bad game to Tulsa because they get after it every day. Now, we have to get that to carry over to the results into the first 15 minutes, into the first half, into making plays, missing sitters, you know, not giving a ball away out of our back third. You know, those are things that we have to get away from. But our guys are honest, every one of them, whether they play every minute, like AJ hasn't come off the field yet, or they haven't been on the field. That's huge. And I think at the end of the day, that's going to be something that can carry us. Our biggest weakness is our inconsistency. That's it. I mean, it's you know, being inconsistent, and it's hard to put a finger on it. Why? Because we're not young. We're not overly inexperienced. We've been through some things. So that one's a tough one to figure out. What could I change?
Other than PK.
I think the only thing I would change is kind of when we kind of hit that stride where we weren't doing so well, is maybe we could have, you know, tweaked a few things a little bit earlier to try to get a change or a rise or something. But it was difficult because we won in Sacramento. Right. We played so well against Vancouver. You know, we had some good things, and we had some things that really fell in our favor. So it wasn't so bad that we needed to throw everything out and start over again. You know, we were okay, but we slipped up, and you know, looking back, wish we would have, you know, maybe made a few changes a little bit earlier. But it wasn't to the point where we had to do something. And you know, hopefully that doesn't come back to bite us in the ass.
It's that Jekyll and Hyde mentality we were talking about earlier. It's suffered. But you brought up something, and I was going to ask it, and I'm glad you brought it up.
No more questions.
I already said that was the last question.
No, go ahead.
Tough shit. I'm doing it anyway. It seems to be a lot more cohesive locker room than last year. I mean, it obviously addition, subtraction, those kind of things happen. Or is it just they all buy in a little bit? I mean, it just seems that they're all much more united than they were last year. And you're not looking at a major locker room turnover. It's still 75% the same guys.
I think our staff has done a better job of maintaining the locker room. I think they're more aware of the importance of it. I think they've managed it better. I think the players that we brought in have added, and some of the guys that aren't here have helped with that as well. And that's going to be the same next year, right? Whoever's not here next year is going to help us be better, and whoever we bring in is going to help us be better. So that's not taking, you know, taking anything on anybody else.
Not being a brand new team too. Last year, I mean, you kind of just threw it all together and you didn't know how the pieces were going to necessarily mesh. Now you're sort of building on an existing base.
Yeah, I think Dale will be the first to tell you, and I'll say it too. I think we were a little naive in a few areas of you know, what needed to get done with some things off the field. But I think the locker room is better. And look, we have our groups. We got these six guys that really like hanging out together. We got these, you know, four guys that like hanging out together.
It's Taka, isn't it? Smoking in the men's room.
You know, but it is tighter. It is more cohesive. And I think, you know, that has helped us, you know, a number of times this year.
Last question, I promise. Poor Richard's wings. Was I right?
They're pretty darn good.
See, I told you.
They're pretty good.
I told you.
Speaking of Poor Richards, they're a local Fenton business. Isn't there a happy hour coming up this week? I think I saw something on Facebook or Twitter.
So O'Leary's, I believe.
O'Leary's. They're in Fenton, right?
No, Sunset Hills.
Sunset Hills.
Fried pickles.
Okay.
It's not in Illinois, I know that much.
There you go. So, yeah, come out this weekend or this week for that. We'll post it on Facebook and Twitter.
Thursday night.
And
restraining orders are still in effect for some of the women, I assume.
wait, Malia raised her voice at that. Oh, okay.
She's objecting to something. Now, the last thing I would say is, look, you know, there's been a lot of moments of frustration for all of us. I mean, you know, Bird gets to see both sides of it. You know, he sees me, you know, walking down from up above into my office. And
we know it's a bad game when you don't come say hi to us after a game.
I do it almost every game, I think.
Okay. You missed a couple.
Not to the parking lot. I mean, to the parking lot, I haven't been there lately, but I've always come over to the corner at least.
Yes.
All right. Just not you two. I say hi to everybody else.
Do you still love it? I mean, seriously.
I do. Look, man. I mean, that's what I told the guys today. We got 8 games to make the fucking playoffs. Let's be excited about it. You know, and if we don't make it, it's gonna suck. Yeah. It's gonna suck. There's gonna be changes, and it's gonna be difficult. But we're where we want to be, and this is what we want. We want that game on Saturday to mean everything.
Well, and those guys are playing for their jobs. I mean, really?
Yeah, I mean, and look, there's a lot of things that way, but it's, you know, it is fun that way. It's a competitor in you. Look, I watched the game last night going, Arizona just smacked OC on the road. Okay, we did that too. Game on.
Right.
We play Sacramento on Saturday. Game on. Right. Oh, we play San Antonio twice, and you just tied at Sacramento where we won. But that's me. That's the competitor going, let's go. Let's get after it. So it is fun.
You see a 12-point swing. If we beat them for both those games.
You hit it. And Oklahoma City right now is whatever. They got like 2 losses and 37 ties, you know, something like that. But, you know, we've tied them twice.
Right.
You know, we haven't lost to them. So there's, you know, there's a lot of things to look forward to, and that's what I'm trying to look after it. And if we don't make it, it's going to be tough. It's going to be really, really tough. But we're in it, and we need to all get after it. And, you know, I feel your frustration. Our players have felt your frustrations. You know, our coaching staff has felt it, and they've had to deal with it. It hasn't fallen on deaf ears. And we're just excited to, you know, to be playing for something, because there's some teams that aren't. And, you know, we were that team last year, and that sucked. Now, maybe in 2 weeks we're not playing for something. Who knows? But as of Saturday against Sacramento, you know.
The corner will be loud, as always.
Of course.
We want everybody who's listening to come out and join us for that.
How can you miss it? I mean, knowing exactly that we have 8 games to make our
– bye week sucked, didn't it? Sorry, this weekend sucked.
Yeah.
It did.
This weekend sucked.
First of all, I ended up having to do a lot of shit around the house. You know, at least when there's a game, you get that, you know, 3 o'clock on, I'm done.
I got to go.
That's right.
All right, we got to draw two lucky winners here for our Cardinals tickets. Matt Bird, go ahead and reach in the vat of thousands and thousands of tickets we've got here.
All right.
The first winner is
740-677.
Peter Krim is going to the St. Louis Cardinals game for soccer night. Okay,
and we believe it.
We'll draw one more.
I'll do it. 740-674.
Spencer.
Uh-oh. Spencer. Oh, we need to draw again.
Draw again.
Well, Malia didn't win. You understand? No, Spencer, and Peter.
This is the first time ever.
Wow, will,
this season won.
I know they will be going to the St. Louis Cardinals game soccer
together.
Night. the team will be down there.
Yep, we got a couple players down there. They'll be signing autographs. They'll be inside the stadium. Looking forward to it.
So there's still you can still get tickets, and I suggest you get the soccer theme night tickets because then you get the nice Croatia scarf. It is a nice looking scarf. It just happens to be the same as Croatia's colors.
In a Bosnian town.
Right. But anyway, Jeremy, anything else you want to say? You want to.
No, appreciate it, guys. Thank you for giving me the chance to come on here. Like I said, you know, a couple weeks ago, that when the timing was right, you know, to get here, and you know, I just appreciate a chance to answer questions and talk about where we're at and hopefully where we're going.
We appreciate you taking the time to do that. We know a lot of teams don't do that. A lot of franchises don't spend a lot of time with their fans, but the clubs do. So we appreciate that, and we want to thank all the thousands and thousands of St. Louligans that have come out here for their chance to win and. Be a part of this magisterial experience.
I mean, again, how lucky are we? They come on. Jeremy comes on. The owners come on. The players come on. You know, they get it. They're tied in. We're very lucky.
The Louisville owner can go on now. He's got plenty of time on his hands.
Yeah, we didn't even get into that, and I don't think we will
tonight.
I don't
think we will. We're good with that.
I'll just snarky comments.
Snarky comments.
Keep it online.
What's a cap count, by the way?
I think you.
Let's see. So this puts you at what, 4 now?
I mean, who's counting? But I think so.
I know that PK does not have as many as you. He has 3.
Well, and also there's the quality of caps. There's coming in late as a sub versus a starter.
Yeah. Hey, that's we said right. Jordan no, Roberts no, is taking that role.
I know what you mean, right? John Joe Shelby played for England, man, but his him getting a cap isn't the same as Wayne Rooney.
Right,
a cap,
exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, Jeremy was invited on. He wasn't a last minute fill in like PK. So, and I know Petch. I'd love to have Petch on again. He did come down to the tailgate last time.
I did,
so
yeah. Okay, good.
So we appreciated that. But you know, show up once in a while, Petch, and maybe you'll get the call to start on the podcast.
Yeah, but he's still. I mean, Bird's still going to talk about the jerseys he doesn't have.
That's right.
In a box.
No.
You give Bird a Canalia jersey, and maybe you can be on the next podcast.
So here's what we're going to do. We're going to get him on, and while he's in my house, somebody go to his house and rifle through his garage.
Yeah,
that's the plan.
He's got treasure buried in that attic.
That's what I'm figuring.
All right, Jeremy. Thanks again for coming on, and I don't know.
Thanks to those that came out.
Yep.
Except for Spencer.
Join us Saturday. Join us Saturday for Sacramento FC and
bring a friend.
We're going to have some fun.
See ya.
I want to beat those roots.
Yep.
Cowtown.
Wow. Okay. Later.